Welcome back into the second hour, in fact, of the 9 till noon show. Some of your comments coming in so far this morning. I've seen a bit of the Donegal homecoming last night, and most of the players walked past all the supporters and didn't high-five them or even smile. Them supporters have been behind that team from day one and stood in the pouring rain last night. The players should have been clapping their supporters, not the other way round. Well, I mean, they're devastated. They're absolutely gutted. And I'd say the last thing they'd want to be doing is celebrating a defeat, is how many of them might see it. So they'd get a big pass from me, to be honest with you. But I do understand exactly where you're coming from as well. Daniel O'Donnell's words were perfect at last night's homecoming. So, so proud of the team's journey. Another, the joy and entertainment given freely to us for the entire Donegal football season cannot be defined by Sunday's result. There has to be a winner and a loser. Donegal's support for their team will not diminish one iota. We're looking forward to the league and next year's championship, and our flags will fly as high and as proud as ever, says another listener. Another regarding the All-Ireland tournament, Sam Maguire Cup. Ulster is the toughest province to win at a game. Munster is easier. Kerry have no competition and win it every year. They are in the final every year, except Cork in 2010. Donegal people are entitled to fly their flag and back their team. That is sport. And last one, just for now on the football topic, congratulations to all at Four Masters Club who organised a great homecoming event last night for the team. Despite the weather, hundreds turned out and very well organised with music and parking and a great atmosphere. And what could have been, can you imagine? Maybe it wouldn't have even rained if we'd have won and the crack would have been 90 and the players would have been full of the joys. But now they have a chance to hopefully wind down and spend more time with their families and build to go again. But maybe it's time for us to start trying to plan for something, because Highland Radio has you back there as well. And there's a great wee country music weekend coming up from us here at Highland Radio. And you're invited to get ready and dance the weekend away. It's the Highland Radio Country Music Weekend. Now, what's interesting about this is you're not heading to another county. You're not flying to another country. You get all the fun that our regulars on those trips get. But you go to the Clanry Hotel just in Letterkenny. It's on the 31st of October and the 1st of November. And we've got two nights, one dance floor. So this is a dance as well, by the way. And some of the biggest names in Irish country music. Michael English and his band. Patrick Feen in his band, David James in his band, Stacey Breen and Jordan McPullen. Now, you can enjoy two nights bed and breakfast, plus tickets to both nights of dancing, all for €249 per person. So that means you don't have to worry about driving home or having a designated Desi or even just driving when you've had a good old dance and wouldn't it be nice to hop into bed. So it's two nights of dancing, two nights accommodation, bed and breakfast as well. And it's $249 per person sharing. So you can book directly with the Clanry on 912-4369 or go onto our website, highlandradio.com, for more information. Now, there's a limited amount of rooms there. So you can imagine the closer we get to the time, the less likely a room available for you might be. Okie doke, let us take a quick break because you're eagerly awaiting, I'm sure, to play the bingo numbers. Here they are.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, monitoring homes and businesses in the Northwest for intruder, fire, panic and medical signals. Call Sheridan Security on 91-26025.
It is 14 minutes past 10 on this Tuesday, the 29th of July, and I'm delighted to welcome into studio Garda Sean Sweeney from the Buncrana Garda Station. Sean, thanks so much for calling up.
Morning, Greg.
Really do appreciate it. Okay, quite a bit to get through, and we'll start with an appeal in relation to a road traffic collision at Listinian.
Yes, a two-vehicle collision occurred in N13, Letterkenny to Balbafay Road, Listinian. At approximately 5:05 p.m. on Friday, the 25th of July, the driver of one of the vehicles, a woman aged in her 60s, remains in hospital to receive treatment for life-threatening injuries. No other injuries were reported. Our appeal is anybody has any information regarding the incident to come forward. Anybody travelled on an N13 in Listillion between 4:50 p.m. and 5:15 p.m. may have witnessed an incident to contact us. Any road users who are travelling that area who have camera footage, including dash cam, make it available. You can contact Letterkenny on 916-7100 at the confidential line 1800-666-111 or indeed any other Garda station.
Appeal also launched in relation to a road traffic collision in Carrigans.
Yeah, again, this is a two-vehicle road traffic collision at Kertouse and Kerrigan's. Friday the 25th of July, shortly before midnight. Driver and passenger of one of the cars remained at the scene. They didn't sustain any injuries. The driver of the other car immediately left the scene on foot. Again, our appeal to anybody who witnessed the collision may have travelled in that area has dash cam footage between 11:30 p.m. on Friday the 25th and 12:30 after midnight on Saturday the 26th, make it available in contact Letterkenny Garda Station.
Okay, now on to the theft of a caravan.
Yeah, it's the theft of a Bailey Pegasus GT65 caravan from the area of Tully Gay in Letterkenny between midnight on Friday the 25th of July and 8:30 a.m. on Monday the 28th. The caravan is white in colour and a 2014 model. So we appeal to anybody who may observe this caravan in transit between those dates. Contact Letterkenny Gardaí. Should anyone come across a similar type of caravan sale on a second-hand basis, we ask them to alert Gardaí. You can use a confidential line again, 1800 666 111.
Yeah, it's a toughie because the number plate's probably gone off it. Yes, it's hard exactly to sort of pin it down, but people in the know will know anyway. You know, if you're familiar with caravans and the different shapes and what have you. Okay, hopefully you have success in relation to that. Theft this time, Lurkey Brack, Letterkenny.
Yeah, the theft a substantial amount of copper from the ESB substation at Lurkey Brack between 5 p.m. on Monday the 21st of July and 9:30 a.m. on Monday the 28th of July. Stolen items were 300 metres of copper wire, 19 by 1.5 and 9 5-metre lengths of copper wire. No damage is caused in order to gain entry to the site, so we appeal to anybody who may have observed suspicious activity in the area. As any relevant information, contact Letterkenny Gardaí or the confidential line.
Yeah, and criminal damage this time in the south of the county, but also focusing seemingly on an ESB substation.
Yeah, exactly. So it's occurred between midnight on Monday, July 21st, and 9 p.m. on Sunday, July 27th, at the substation, the Balbuffet Road in Donegal Town. Steel railings the station were cut and bent between those dates. Entry was not gained to the main building and nothing was stolen. So we appeal to anybody observed suspicious activity in the area between those dates. Contact Gardaí in Ballyshannon 0719858530.
Okay, let's go to Carn Donagh now. Some public order instances being investigated.
Yes, a number of public order assault incidents that occurred in Carn Donagh town on the evening of Thursday the 24th of July. An altercation believed to have taken place between a number of male youths, teenagers, between approximately 5:45 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. at the Diamond and also on Mallon Street a short time later. One male teenager was taken to the Kenny University Hospital following incidents to receive treatment for non-life-threatening injuries. So we're in the process of gathering witness statements and all available CCTV is being viewed. So our appeal is any witnesses who have not yet spoken to us, get in touch with Crannagh Garda Station on 9320540. They also appeal to anybody who may have travelled within the town, particularly in the areas of the Diamond and Mallon Street, between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. with dashcam footage. Please make it available to us.
Yeah, okay. And an assault being investigated in Balbuffet.
Yeah, so appealing for witness, alleged assault that happened on Naveni Street in Balbuffet near the junction with the Chestnut Road on Sunday the 27th of July between 9:30 p.m. and 9:50 p.m. Man reported he was assaulted at that location between those times by another man. The injured man was taken by ambulance to Letterkenny for non-life threatening injuries. Our appeal to the witnesses, get in touch with Gardaí and Ballyshannon. And any appeal is also anybody's dashcam footage as usual.
All right, okay. Now, we were chatting to Garda Clare last week about the Check It Fits. There's still some of these events coming up. Really important that if you have a young person in a seat, that it's all buckled up and fitted correctly. And we've got some help in that regard, Sean.
Yeah, the RCA are providing assistance with that. So they'll be visiting Donegal this week. The services will be open from 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. at each location. There's no need to book an appointment. So the 29th of July is today, they're in Aldi in Buchrana. On the 30th of July, Smith's Toys in Letterkenny. 31st of July, Super Value in Donegal Town. And 1st of August, Aldi in Dunloe. This is free nationwide service, but help parents and guardians for fitting the child seats for the care for all the children. To fix any problems, demonstrate it. And if you want any more information, you can visit rsa.ie forward slash check it fits.
Right, we are heading into the August bank holiday weekend. It really crept up on us. Obviously, from a Garda perspective, a policing perspective, unfortunately, we know there can be sort of peaks in detections or collisions or what have you. And we do it every time there's a bank holiday, and it's for good reason. So what's the message this time, Sean?
Yeah, look, the bank holiday is always to be high visibility checkpoints and speed checks across the roads. So our appeal is to drivers, don't drive when you're under the influence of alcohol or drugs. Slow down, wear your seatbelt, don't use your mobile phone. You know the consequences for doing this kind of behaviour can be devastating. So we just ask everybody be enjoyable and hope you have a safe bank holiday weekend.
Okay, and you had a lovely weekend. Not the result you wanted, but a family day out down in Dublin.
Unfortunately not, no, but yeah, it's a good day for the young fellow to see cheer on the boys.
It's amazing, isn't it, to see it firsthand. Okay, listen, Sean, thanks very much for that. That's Garda Sean Sweeney with the Buncrana Garda Station, and that was Community Garda Information. It'll be back with you on the programme live just after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday, and you can podcast it or watch it back on the Garda Síochána O'Connor Facebook page a little later on this morning. Welcome back to the programme. So yesterday was a huge day for the North West, for Sligo and Letterkenny, both hospitals receiving significant investment. And a number of people have sort of said, well, you know, where was the publicity in the newspapers or on telly in relation to this? Amongst them, Fine Gael Councillor Michael Boyle. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Greg. How you doing? Good morning to all your listeners.
Yeah. I mean, this was a massive investment in the Northwest, it has to be said, but it kind of, I could only find it in one paper, if I'm completely honest with you. I'm not sure if it was in yesterday's papers.
Yeah. Well, in fairness, only the Highland and the local radio stations that have got no publicity at all. Mm. And my grievance about it is, if it was bad news, it would be plastered all over every radio station and all the news media's. You know, and it's 200 million coming into the Northwest, 100 million for Letterkenny, and 100 million for Sligo. You know, it's nothing to be sneezed at, and it's a great news day. This has been a cross-party thing. It's not a Fine Gael political broadcast. You know, Sinn Féin and Fianna Fáil have all been working this, along with independents and the doctors, and I think it's fallen into deaf ears. You know, I was very disappointed. It got no praise at all.
Yeah, and it got really very little coverage. I mean, there was one morning it was on the national broadcaster, but that was that. And indeed, the health minister was on the next day, and they probably had an opportunity to progress the story then and didn't. But you say that if it was a bad news story, we'd hear all about it. I'm not quite sure, Michael. I think we just struggled to get any coverage nationally up here. And you almost don't want to say it because you sound like you're poor mouthing again. You know, that sort of way. But it's obvious.
No, it's nothing poor mouth, and I always hear you on, you know, speaking about the, you know, the large broadcasters, and you're 100% right. You know, I don't know why this didn't get any praise at all. You know, like if it was in Dublin or it was in Galway, you know, it'd be all over the news. But you know, this has been delivered for Donegal and Sligo, and we don't have too many days like this. Mm. And you know, it's a great news story. And I was very disappointed about what the media did with it. You know, they didn't cover it at all, except yourselves and Ocean and Radio Na Gaeltacht. You know, they were all there doing that. But RT was there too, and I don't know why they chose to put on, you know, maybe a 20-second clip on the 9 o'clock news. You know, it's a big news story for us in Donegal.
But the problem whilst the national media is based in Dublin, and this is no disrespect to the hard-working correspondents who I'm sure would say to their editors, look, I've got a 3-minute package on this, and the editors go, no, we don't have time for that this evening. You know, I'm sure that happens. When you have the media based in Dublin and the politicians are based in Dublin and this is based in Dublin, that's based in Dublin, very quickly, I don't think you see outside of the pale. Do you know what I mean? I don't think you see the Northwest or the Southeast. You know, we're farmers and tourists. That's all we are. Do you know what I mean? We're farmers and tourists.
Yeah, not 100%. You know, no, it was very disappointing to see. I came home here after we left Letterkenny after a good day yesterday, looking forward to watching the 6-1 news for a change, because, you know, usually when we're looking at Donegal and RT, it's a sad story, or, you know, but you know what? It was a good news story yesterday, and we're very, very thankful for Jennifer Karen McNeil to come up yesterday and make that announcement. Every politician, doesn't matter what party it is, we've all been lobbying on it. And it was a good news day for Donegal, and for it to fall on deaf ears is very disappointing.
No, and you're quite right. Right across all parties and none, no one stepped out of line. All politicians worked really hard together in relation to this, and between the bit of coordination between they and then the doctors and the consultants and what have you, it became a message that was impossible to ignore. Now, that being said, we've been disappointed in the past, but as you've quite rightly pointed out, when we do succeed, we have to celebrate that as well. And I've full of praise for the Health Minister, because I got the impression she genuinely cared, and it seems, having come up here yesterday, she's shown that she actually does genuinely care. And as I say, you have to call her out when it's there.
She's an amazing woman, not because she's my party or anything. Jennifer listened from day one. That's why we knew something was going to happen, because she listened to what we had to say. You know, it's not too many ministers, doesn't matter what side of the house they are, you know, do listen. And we owe Jennifer Karen McNeil a lot. We owe the doctors too. You know, we went over there yesterday. I've only been in politics, well, elected and co-opted in March, you know. And we went over there yesterday, and the staff coming out hugging us and crying. You know, this means a lot to the people. You know, that's what disappointed me, that it didn't make headlines. Like, everybody was so grateful yesterday that this happened. You know, this secures the future of Letterkenny Hospital. And, you know, there'll not be too many days like this, Greg. You know, it's a momentous occasion.
Siobhan pointing out it was on RT last night, and Dolores pointing out it was on Virgin Media News. I think really it's what you're saying is, yes, you know, there was some coverage of it, but you think it could have been a big news story, maybe worthier of a 4 or 5 minute package. That's really what you're saying, isn't it? Yeah,
it was. It wasn't on the 6-1. Like, 6-1 news is the broadcast. You know, I know it was on for a few seconds on the 9 o'clock news, but I think it should have got more coverage. You know, I do think, and as I said before, only for the local radio stations giving her coverage, like nobody would have heard nothing about it at all.
It's funny how it can slip under the radar. All right, Michael, thanks for your time. Greg. Take care of yourself, Councillor Michael Boyle there. What do you think? 086 60 25,000. Once you have the main core of the national media based in Dublin, it's very, very hard to sort of sometimes, you know, break a mindset. Good morning, Greg. Jim McGuinness walked down to the supporters. One of the boys. Great show there, Greg. Jim Boys will be back bigger and better. That comes in from Audrey in Claddy. We expect sometimes, I think, too much of players that have given so much and sacrificed so much in terms of, I don't know, whether it's holidays or work or time with the family, and they are for the most part doing it for nothing. So there's an awful lot of personal disappointment, and I think we need to give them the space to sort of have that. And each player is going to be different. Some are going to be like, well, we'll come again stronger. Others might say to themselves, I'm not sure I can do that again. Others might say, but do you think Jim's going to hang around? You know, this is a very personal sort of thing for them, and they have to be given an opportunity, I suppose, to process it. Well done to Oisin and all his team for a great weekend of sport. That comes in from Joe. Yep, Oisin Kelly, Brendan Devaney, Brendan Kilcoyne, all of them really did a fantastic, fantastic job down there. My grandchildren went to Donegal Town yesterday evening to greet the team. They came home very disappointed that the team walked on with their heads down and ignored the children shouting to them, very poor losers. We appreciate they're broken from loss, but I personally feel they gave a very poor example to the kids about bravery in the face of losing. There had to be a winner and a loser. Perhaps Jim McGuinness should have given them a better talking to about greeting the fans. Listen, they turned up. You know, it's very hard if you're ultra, ultra competitive. It's very hard to cheer and high five losing, because ultimately that's what it is. And saying, oh, well, they're the second best team in the world. Those guys went down there looking to win, and they're winners. And it's very hard just to put on a bright face about losing so soon after. But others, pragmatic, as I say, others, there's a smile there and they know their time will come again. But for those of them that are ultra, ultra competitive, you can all understand that they're going to be absolutely gutted. Right, a man has been sentenced to death in Lebanon after he was convicted for his part in the killing of Irish peacekeeper Private Sean Rooney. He was shot dead while serving in the region in December 2022. Deputy Ruairí O'Murchú joins me on the programme now. Of course, Deputy has been in touch with the family on a number of occasions in relation to this case and knows some of the family very well indeed. Deputy, thank you so much for your time. I do appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Greg. Well, first and foremost, this is obviously a very tough time for Natasha, for the wider family, and the friends and colleagues of Private Sean Rooney. And I suppose the most important thing we can do is remember his sacrifice. But I, like many other people, am not particularly happy with what we have seen happen so far in the Lebanon. As regards what was meant to be an attempt to find justice for Sean Rooney. And there are a number of questions that need to be answered. I will be writing to the Taoiseach and Taoiseach today. We need to ensure that we show our displeasure, and I am glad of what's in the public domain from themselves in relation to this. But also we need to find out questions like, where is Mohammed Ayed at this point in time? And then, as I said, there's a huge follow-up in relation to whether we're talking about the UN, the Defence Forces, and a number of investigations that are to happen, that we need to also find out the ins and outs of everything that happened surrounding it, and we ensure that we learn from this. Like, we cannot forget the sacrifice, but we also need to make sure we that we put in what mitigations we can and what will always be dangerous as regards peacekeeping. But again, it's absolutely vital that we look after the family also of Sean Rooney, and we ensure that they are provided with all the information, and that means from all the bodies involved in this. And I think that's the only thing that's right. We also have to remember Trooper Kearney at this point in time, who obviously suffered horrific injuries, and the other two who were injured also.
Are you satisfied that the right people were before the courts and that this is actual justice? And I'm not suggesting for a second, by the way, that that is not the case, but I'm just wondering in terms of the transparency of the whole process, the fact that the key defendant seems to be AWOL, and for everybody else it's sort of a couple of months here or there, or a fine here or there. Are we satisfied that this is a robust system, and it's not just a case of trying to be seen to be doing something to draw a line under it?
I don't think any of us can be happy with what we've seen. I don't think anybody can see this as any element of justice. But first of all, when Mohammed Ayed was released on bail, down to medical conditions, and I'm not aware what the ins and outs of those were, we know that the Irish government was very late in relation to being told about this. We're not entirely sure where he is at this point in time. It's very, very strange that, you know, you are sentenced to death in absentia. We know that what's likely to happen here is that will be commuted. But with one thing that we do know is that Private Sean Rooney was given a death sentence on that fateful day. And we need to make sure that everything is done, as I say, by the government in relation to finding justice. And this certainly isn't justice at this point in time. As I say, the two things that I've always thought about in this case was the memory of Sean Rooney, and that justice is provided, and that any, and I suppose the other vital piece, any learnings that are need to be learned from a point of view of, we secure absolutely our peacekeepers who are doing a dangerous job, doing an absolutely vital job. But we know that the remit had changed in relation to what UNIFIL troops were doing at that point in time. We know that they were no longer informing the Lebanese Defence Forces in relation to their actions and movement, and that we know Hezbollah wasn't particularly happy about this. We know the remit was technically about trying to ensure there would only be one armed group, being the Lebanese army, in Lebanon. Now, whether that was a possibility is another thing. But the fact is, because Hezbollah were not happy with this set of circumstances, they had issued a whole pile of statements in relation to the fact that UNIFIL troops and others were Israeli spies, and that heightened the whole circumstance. But We know what happened on that day. It was utterly unacceptable in every way, shape or form. And we are, I don't think anybody in Ireland could be happy in relation to what happened there. This is not good enough in any way, shape or form in relation to Private John Rooney, the sacrifice he made and the absolute heinous crime that was carried out against him.
Yeah, and it almost throws up more questions than answers and, you know, information seemingly going missing or hard to get cooperation from parties involved in this that you would expect them to be very forthcoming in providing information.
Well, you're talking about the United Nations. Mm-hmm. Yes, no, I believe so. And look, I have been in the grandparents' home and I have seen the Secretary General Antonio Guterres' letter where he speaks about the bravery of Sean Rooney and how he avoided other deaths on that day due to his, you know, courage and obviously his skill set as a driver. But then we've seen the issues in relation to the UN not being forthcoming in relation to the information. We know there are a number of cases in play at this point in time as regards the Defence Forces, the state and the UN. But what we need to see, and the reason I've had so many interactions with particularly the Taoiseach and Tánaiste around this, is the fact that we need to ensure that this state does absolutely everything. I believe there's a greater freedom now that the case is done to a degree, so therefore the engagement should be happening already with the Lebanese from a point of view of our dissatisfaction, but also the questions in relation to where Mohammed Ayad is. Mm-hmm. But it's absolutely unacceptable that all the information that is in relation to what happened on the day isn't provided to the family, and where we don't have absolutely clarity in relation to everything, and then that we ensure that, as I say, as we often talk about learnings, we don't always learn from them, and we need to learn from this on the basis that we lost, as they say, somebody who is missed and will be missed forever in both Dundalk and Newton Cunningham and beyond, and who made, as I say, the ultimate sacrifice. And the only way we can do any justice by that is ensuring that this state, that this country looks after him and those that follow in peacekeeping duties from here on in.
Okay, thank you for your time this morning. That's Sinn Féin Deputy Rory O'Murahu, who is obviously has been liaising with the family quite extensively over the course of this case, but also knows grandparents very well in relation to that. And you just would have hoped a day like today, or, you know, a sequence of days like we've seen over the last couple of days would be the beginning of maybe the end. But unfortunately, it seems to be raising many more questions than are being answered. Right, Tom Murray's president of the Irish Pharmacy Union, and he joins us on the programme now. Good morning, Tom. Thanks so much for your time.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
Great to have you with us as well. Now, almost 90% of pharmacies were victims of crime in the past 12 months. 94% have been hit twice. That's staggering.
Yeah, it is. It's a worrying concern for pharmacists and for the patients and for our staff. There's almost 90% this year, which is up from 72% in 2020. And actually nearly a third of them have had more than 10 incidences a year, and 59% have been by the same person. So repeated offenders coming into pharmacies. I suppose the greatest concern is people need to recognise pharmacies are healthcare environments. So if you're coming in to discuss something about serious issues about your health or concern about your medicine, the last thing you need is to see distractions where you're having to deal with a security incident in the pharmacy. And 14% of them even involved weapons. So harassment and aggression, I suppose, is a reflection of society and crime is on the up. But it's getting more and more frequent in pharmacy, absolutely.
And it's more likely that they're coming in to try and steal high-volume items off the shelf, or are they trying to access drugs, you know, that are obviously present there?
Absolutely, there's a lot of high-value items at the front of the shop which are being stolen, but there is an increasing risk where 10% of the thefts involved over-the-counter medicines, so there'd be medicines predominantly involving codeine or pseudoephedrine that may be getting misused. There was 3% involved control drugs, which is very heavy medicines containing opiates, and 7% were prescription-only medicines. So the concern there is obviously misuse or abuse or on selling onwards. And there is a public safety issue with people taking medicines. Without a doubt, the majority of the stuff, though, is theft of high-value items at the front of the shop. Even that, though, contributes to huge distress for the staff. And some of the pharmacies have obviously had to close to deal with stressed staff after an incident. And more importantly, as I say, if you have stressed patients coming in, people need to recognise we have patients coming in who might be diagnosed with cancer. They come in and get a first high-tech chemotherapy drug, and we're trying to sit there and counsel them and provide pharmaceutical services to that patient. It's very, very hard on that patient and on the pharmacist involved if there's somebody in threatening staff, acting aggressively, and then stealing from the pharmacy.
I don't think you can rely on sort of appealing to the better judgment of the perpetrators of this. So what?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, so what can be done, or what assistance can be provided?
I suppose the first thing is two-thirds of pharmacists want more Gardaí on the streets. I think the Gardaí want more Gardaí on the streets. The greatest repellent to ongoing crime is obviously more visible Gardaí. And I also think that, you know, 58% said they don't bother reporting it because they've no faith in the criminal justice system. So where nearly two-thirds of the crime is being conducted by the same person and it's recidivist, it's very frustrating when you do make a report and then you go to court and you see somebody getting told off and then they come in the next day and they do the same thing again. So I guess what has happened this year is the Minister for Justice, Jim O'Callaghan, the Junior Minister, Alan Dillon, did host a retail forum in May on the crime issues in society and in retail. And I'd like to see that report published and see it implemented. There was Operation Targa by the Gardaí between December 23 and November 24. And that led in 20,000 charges and summonses with nearly 8,500 arrests. I'd like to see that re-implemented. So for the government to publish and to implement some of their own reports, support the Gardaí by having more of them visible, and that will help support everybody in society, really.
And I think, you know, in pharmacy and on other similar businesses, shoplifting is always going to be the problem, but it's just the reoffending, the aggression, becoming more confident, probably because they know, A, they won't get caught, and B, if they do, they'll back out tomorrow morning to do the exact same thing again. And that does create a space that we see more of this type of activity.
Yeah, worryingly, one of the tables that Ireland leads globally is we have the highest rate of theft in the world per capita, but €339 per person, which is over 1.6 billion annually in Ireland. It's one of the global tables that we don't want to be at the top of as a country, but we are, simply because theft, as you say, hard to detect, hard to prevent. And even I know that Mary Fitzpatrick did, and her Senate introduced a Protection of Retail Workers Act, and there is work to remove the retail defamation. So if you were, not saying you would be, but if you were suspiciously acting in my pharmacy and I approached you, and then you can say that I defamed you in the pharmacy, that prevents you dealing with somebody who you know is up to no good. So there are things.
One second, that wasn't familiar with that. So, in other words, if you were to even sort of query how I might be behaving, you could be found responsible for that.
I could be found responsible for defaming you. Yes. Yeah. So there is. The government are supposed to be amending the Public Order Act to try and remove the retail defamation clause that's in there, which would allow people where they are suspecting somebody of theft to actually be able to approach them with a bit more confidence. It's very difficult to approach somebody if you think you're going to be sued for having accused them of theft, even though you've seen them clearly try to steal from you. So some protection for pharmacists, for their staff, and for all retail really would be achieved by implementing some of the things that the government have highlighted they wish to do. But again, number one is more Gardaí, and from our point of view, have respect for the fact that pharmacies are healthcare environments. As you said, you can't appeal to the better nature of these people, but it's not appropriate when you're trying to deal with sick children or worried mothers or worried fathers or just patients worried about their own healthcare, and then you have to deal with somebody being aggressive, harassing your staff and trying to steal from you.
Just finally, just in relation to that, I can't help but feel that, you know, the HSC and EDs claim to have a zero tolerance attitude towards disrespect towards employees and all that type of stuff. Does that need to be extended to the pharmacy?
I would say most pharmacists, we work in a caring environment, would have a zero tolerance attitude.
So it's self-implicated. Yeah, you put that in yourself, right? Okay. Yeah,
but it's very difficult, particularly like the majority, and I don't mean to sound in any way sexist, the majority of pharmacists are female. It's very difficult to come out, and if you've got a young adult male that's very aggressive and harassing, to try and get them out of the pharmacy and to implement a zero tolerance is difficult, but it's something we are faced with on a regular basis. I think when it is dealt with, then, as you say, and you meet the guy the next day, he comes back in and does it again, slightly frustrating, to say
just
the least.
To say the least, indeed. All right, Tom, listen, thanks very much indeed.
Very nice
to have you on the show. That's Tom Murray there, president of the Irish Pharmacy Union. Some shocking figures in there, and it's tough enough to be in business without facing that level of theft from property. Comments here. Good morning, Greg. Thank you. I firmly believe it's because of yourself that we are getting a surgical hub. You dug deep and found all the information and used it to our advantage. You interviewed all the necessary people and very respectfully called out lies and cover-ups. You never let up, and because of that, we, the Donegal people, will have better health. And moving forward, our health minister should know we will stand up for what's right. So thank you, Greg. Thanks. If I had any role in it at all, I'd be over the moon. I think Donegal gets a lot of coverage on RTE compared to the likes of counties Leitrim or Sligo. Last night on Nationwide, the whole programme was about Bundoran and its history. On Saturday, Sunday morning, there's a lot of coverage about the county on RTE Radio 1. Another, only a few months ago, Pat the Cope Gallagher said meeting health ministers would be just a box-ticking exercise. He must have egg in his face today. Him supporting the government. I didn't agree with that stance at that time either. If you've an opportunity to go and speak to a health minister outside a hospital, and I think really, well, anyway, I'll not get too much into it, but I think it was perhaps a little bit of a misstep at that time. Okay, I'll be back with more after these. We're joined on the programme now by Conor Coyle, journalist with the Irish News. Conor, thanks for joining me again this morning. It's very nice to have you on the programme.
No problem. Thanks very much for having me on.
Right, Conor, an update in relation to the tragic shooting that occurred in County Fermanagh last week. The shooting suspect has died in hospital.
Yes, so 43-year-old Ian Rutledge had been in a very serious condition in the Royal Victoria Hospital since the shooting incident last Wednesday. We had fairly good information, I suppose, for the last few days that he would be unlikely to survive that. The police had indicated themselves that they had made no arrests in relation to this incident and didn't anticipate that there would be any further arrests. So from the information we had, we knew it would be unlikely that Ian Rutledge would survive this. And so it came to pass yesterday that he died in the Royal Victoria Hospital. So I suppose in terms of the investigation, now at this stage, police will continue, obviously, to gather the evidence that they can in terms of the circumstances of what happens in that house in Maguire's Bridge, which led to the deaths of Vanessa White and her children, James and Sarah. But the most likely course of action, I suppose, ultimately will come to an inquest, which will be the ultimate, I suppose, arbiter of what happened or what went on.
Now, the funeral of Vanessa White and James and Sarah will take place down in County Clare, now we know, tomorrow.
So the funeral will take place on Saturday, as far as I'm aware.
Right, okay.
So Vanessa White was originally from a small village called Bearfield, just outside Ennis in County Clare. And from what we know, she was very proud and a proud native Clare woman, and I'm just looking at a picture in the paper here today, just of her and her two children. You know, very prized punch during the All Ireland final in Croke Park last year, which was won by Clare. Mm. So yes, I think that my understanding is that her family were quite keen for that funeral service to take place in Clare, and that will happen on Saturday.
Yep, you're perfectly correct. Sorry about that. I just misread that. Listen, thank you very much for your time, Conor. I do appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks.
Conor Coyle there, journalist with the Irish News there. Now, we were speaking about the flooding that took place in Burnfoot there a number of years ago, and we promised to get you the official response in relation to that. The Burnfoot Flood Relief Scheme remains a priority for the Office of Public Works as funder, and Donegal County Council is client and project lead. Consultant RPS have prepared a planned documentation for submission to on Commission Plenala. Documentation is currently undergoing legal review prior to submission in Q3 of this year. Following a period of recruitment, Donegal County Council's Flood Relief Scheme Unit, which is 100% funded by the Office of Public Works, now has a full staffing allocation of 5 personnel, not the one that was mentioned. Reviewing of staffing levels will remain an ongoing exercise between the Office of Public Works and the council, with both parties fully committed successfully a successful delivery of all ongoing flood relief schemes in the county. Updates and all coming schemes can be found at countydonegalfrs.ie. So what it's saying effectively is that they seem to be, at this point anyway, maybe it's still open for review, they are continuing to prepare to go to do the work in relation to flood mitigation and flood relief for those houses in Burnfoot. So we'll keep an eye on that story, of course, and keep you updated as we get any further information. That politician on complaining about no big coverage about the announcement of the new hub, but we wouldn't have got it had it not been for the public discovering about the shady Lowry deal given to Sligo, the hub over Donegal. Michael Ball's ignoring the fact that we'd have to beg for what we shouldn't have to, then he wants praise. And it was a funny Friday morning, that, because as it turns out, and it was not by design, that we had Marion Harkin, who is, of course, a representative for a bit of South Donegal and Sligo, and Declan Meehan, who's one of the political voices you would have heard most about that hub. And I was just curious, was it part of the deal? And from there, look at where we ended up. Hopefully it helped. Question. I know ones travelling to the game on Sunday at the toll bridge had to pay $2.60 and $1.70 on the way back, which is the price both ways. Is this something that they just did for the day of the match? Just on a more joking side, was it Sam Maguire or the hub for Donegal? Great news anyway, and Sam will come again. I'm not sure, really, to be honest. I tap, and I probably should pay more attention, but I don't use that road very often, and I just pull up and tap in a way. So I'm not really sure of the prices. I'd have to check my statements. I know the councillor did say RTE covered the surgical hub story for about 20 seconds on the 9pm news. I'd have to contradict him because they did spend a good few minutes on the topic, and a local doctor, along with a few other people, as well as the minister, spoke on the matter. Okay, thank you for that. Great news about the hospital. Well done, Greg and Highland. Greg, I'm proud of the team, but I thought the young children waited to see them and they could make an effort. Okay, I get where you're coming from, but I feel I can see it from the players' perspective as well, and they're gutted, and I'm sure they'll spend lots of time with those kids at their various grounds over the course of the next club season and into the next year's league and championship, etc. The Donegal football team should be showing the people that they have still fight in them and telling the people next time we'll play to the death to win. Sam not standing with their heads down. This does not show the fight they need to play in the big final. What do you think? 086 60 25,000. Okay, we'll be talking to all of the Marys, those participating in the Mary from Dunlow, that section, the Mary from Dunlow International Festival. We'll be chatting to them over the course of the next hour, much of it anyway. Okay, but we'll head towards the news at 11 with this break.